In a world filled with big sports companies and high-end production podcasts, comes a group of guys who paid $5 for this intro. Welcome to Eat, Sleep, Fantasy.
I'm in my zone, no lie. And we like to play till the sun go down. Yeah, we like to play till the sun go down. Then we take that town, then we take that town.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Eat, Sleep, Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Fantrax. If you want to head over to Fantrax.com and get a really cool customizable league, go check those guys out. They've been hosting our mock drafts. It's been awesome. We've got a action-packed episode today. We're going to be talking about the NFC North. We've got a little bit of a lineup change today, which is awesome. We've got, first of all, I want to introduce Dale DeMott. How you doing, Dale?
Fuck you, Dale! Fuck you!
Awesome. I'm always here.
Always here. Haven't missed at all? Maybe once?
Maybe once.
All right. And then also with us tonight, no longer in Circus Circus, is intern Rich. How you doing, Richard?
Are you talking?
Shut up, Richard.
I'm doing pretty good, except Dale, you weren't there in Vegas, so yeah, that's one that you missed right there.
Yeah, well, because you guys say that the shittiest hotel probably on the strip, Circus Circus. You sounded so proud of that in our last episode.
Well, shit, when you get six nights for $600, I'd rather do that instead of paying $1,000 more for one of the nice ones.
Yeah, but on our last episode, on the mock draft that you did with Armando in the Circus Circus hotel, it's probably a shitty little hotel. You sounded so proud that you guys were staying in
Live from the Circus Circus.
Hey, man. There's nothing wrong with it. It's creepy clowns, though.
No, in the hotel, it's probably the worst hotel. It smells like mildew.
Hey, listen, man. The room was perfectly fine. And if it makes you feel any better, they're actually going to be tearing it down eventually.
Oh, that's yeah, cool. I hope so.
Their steakhouse is really good. And they've got a downstairs at the Circus Circus. They serve a Krispy Kreme burger. That stuff's good, man. That'll kill you in like three bites.
That's fucking gross, man.
Dude, you didn't try it, all right? It was really good.
I don't know.
I think I'm dying.
I'll show you a picture of a different burger after we do the podcast. That'll probably be up there as far as the level of unhealthiness with the Krispy Kreme burger.
Yeah. All right, so we're a little sad because Hall of Fame game was canceled. It's not like we were really going to get to see much actual good football, but it was the introduction.
Football nonetheless.
It was football nonetheless, and I'm pretty sad about it, guys. How you feel?
Yeah, the real football nerds are going to be really sad about this. Yeah, it is what it is. I was looking forward to watching it just because it's football, but I can live without it.
I don't know. I kind of wanted to see if they would at least throw out the Josh Ferguson or Robert Turbin or something like that onto the field and get some indication of that. But we have
start,
four more preseason
start the over,
games.
Start the overreaction really, really soon.
Yeah. Frank Gore's old, man. It's not an overreaction for me. I really want to see those guys and see if they're worthy to be handcuffs, but I'm just sad about it.
Yeah, Frank Gore is an old, old man.
Yep.
Gotta wait four more days now.
Hey, wait, hold on. Dale, how old are you?
I am going to be 34 next month.
You're older than Frank Gore.
Oh, that sucks. That makes me sad. Frank Gore. Man, I'm older than Frank Gore.
God. You actually graduated high school before Frank Gore got into high school.
No, that's not true. I'm not sure. He's just
4 years. 4 years.
No. Frank Gore's 33 years old, so he's.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, but man, that's sad.
That is.
I guess I'm getting old because I'm older than some football players now. That's really sad.
That does suck.
All right. Well, enough with the bullcrap. Let's go ahead and get into our divisional previews.
Divisional previews.
Okay. All right, so we'll go ahead and we'll talk about the NFC North Division here today. We'll start off then with the division winners. They were the Minnesota Vikings. Go ahead and talk to them about us. Talk to them about us. Fuck.
Hey, Minnesota Vikings, we're at East Sleep Fantasy, and you should be aware of us.
Dale, what's up with the Vikings?
Yeah, I guess we could start off with the quarterback play in Teddy Bridgewater. Last year, he played all 16 games, but he finished with only just short of 16 fantasy points per game, which landed him as a 23rd overall ranked quarterback. with only 14 touchdowns last year and 14 touchdowns the previous year. I don't see him improving much. Not much has changed. I have him at the 27th best quarterback right now above RG3 and Mark Sanchez. What are you guys' thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater? About the same?
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he's a good NFL quarterback, but for fantasy purposes, look elsewhere, because there's about two dozen other quarterbacks you can get ahead of, you know, instead of Teddy Bridgewater.
Exactly. I mean, though, the one shining light is Laquon Treadwell, the rookie out of Ole Miss. I'll talk about him in a second. But Stephon Diggs is the guy that he's been a bust last year, and I think he's going to bust again this year.
You think Diggs was a bust?
I think so. Don't you? I mean, last year he had four games over 10 points per. Over 10 points, and had eight games under 6 points. I think that's a bust. You can't rely on him. He's not going to start on your team. I don't think he's flex worthy. Do you? Last year was he?
I think for what he was, which is a waiver wire fodder type of player, he was perfectly fine for the few weeks that you played him.
If you played him on those games where he broke out and had a long touchdown catch. If you had him on a game that he had 1.3 points that game, with only, you know, 13 yards caught with one reception,
he really tailed off towards the end of last year. That's where he was disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, now he's going to be the second option this year to Laquon Treadwell. Treadwell should get plenty of targets if Peterson stays healthy. You know, of course, Peterson keeps the defenses honest, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Treadwell eclipse 1,000 yards this season in his rookie season. Amongst all of us, I have him the highest at 39th receiver overall, going around the 10th or 11th round in standard drafts. You guys aren't as high. Do you have any expectations for Treadwell this year?
I think Treadwell will be a whatever late round wide receiver kind of guy that you might be able to plug in for a few weeks. I just don't see that passing game being productive. Again, Teddy Bridgewater is not the guy that's going to light the world on fire. He's going to be a very mediocre to very low-end fantasy-type quarterback, and I don't see much production coming from that pass game because that's just really not what they do in Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be targeting a rookie wide receiver towards those later rounds, I mean, obviously you got better choices in Sterling Shepard and Kevin White, so.
Yeah, this is just not a passing offense.
The only caveat to that is that I think he's going to be the red zone target and might end the year with, you know, 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, I really don't see it far-fetched to think that he can get 1,000 yards. I think he's fast, he can catch the ball, he's a big target. Like I said, I have him 39th among wide receivers. I wouldn't mind taking him 11th or 12th round. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, not that great. I mean, you're looking at, you know, 200 yards and maybe a touchdown per game. But, hey, if all that's going to Treadwell, maybe something better than we think. So I kind of breezed through the quarterback and wide receivers because it's really not much to talk about. Let's talk about the running backs.
I do want to ask you a question there, Dale. Would you rather have Treadwell or a guy in Cleveland like Corey Coleman, the other rookie?
Yeah. You know, I think I'd rather go Coleman just because we've seen what RG3 can, you know, pass the ball efficiently. I'd say Coleman.
So it's not like you're loving Treadwell. No, you just think he'll be okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay. And I just want to mention that don't be surprised if he goes for 1,000 yards a season. But no, I don't have him very high. Okay. So Adrian Peterson, of course, the highest ranked running back this season by Armando and myself this year. We both have him at number one overall in running backs. Last year, Peterson finished with 1,700 yards and 11 touchdowns. I'm playing AP until his wheels fall off. Most are getting scared because of his age. He's over 30 years old now. But I haven't seen any signs of wear and tear yet. Now, there were times last season where, you know, maybe he looked a little slower getting stuck behind, you know, some of the defensive lines there. But then, you know, late in the third quarter, he'd break out for an 80-yard touchdown run. If he was losing his wheels, he wouldn't be able to break that out like that. So I'm not yet scared of Adrian Peterson drafting him as a first or as the best running back this year. What do you guys have thoughts on Adrian Peterson? Are you as happy with Peterson as I am?
Yeah, clearly he's going to be a top three running back. I mean, he had 4.5 yards per carry last year. He had over 200 yards receiving. Not a whole lot, but it is the most he's had in the last 3 years. I've got no problem where he's being drafted right now.
Yeah. I mean, and the one thing I was a little, upset about last year, there was a lot of whispers coming out of camp that Adrian Peterson was going to get more involved in the passing game. That didn't happen. And I don't think it's going to happen this year again. I'm not gonna buy into it. Last camp they said, he's going to be an improved pass catcher. We're going to use him more. And I think he had 30 receptions all year last year. I expect more of the passing game to go to his handcuff, Jerick McKinnon. This guy, he's just an athlete, freak athlete. He's fast. He's big. He can catch the ball. He can run the ball. He is the handcuff to own. If you own Adrian Peterson, you must handcuff him with Jerick McKinnon.
I do want to play devil's advocate, Dale,
sure,
a little bit.
Sure.
You're not concerned at all, 31 years old, started training camp, already pulled his hamstring. You're not worried a little bit about this is the year that he's going to break down?
Look,
I am.
I'm going to draft him as normal and get Jerick McKinnon. And I'm going to reach for Jerick McKinnon probably in the 10th or 11th round because of that. But we haven't seen any signs of breaking down. We haven't seen any signs of wear and tear. Until that happens, I'm going to be draft happy with him. I don't see a problem. I'm not worried at all. In the back of my mind, maybe a little. Hence the reason I'm getting Jerick McKinnon a little early. But Adrian Peterson's going to be his normal self at least I'll give him at least 8 weeks, right?
Okay. I think he'll be pretty damn good. I'm just a little worried. That little hamstring pull, 31 years old. But he's Adrian Peterson, right? So I might not have him number one, but he's definitely in my top five at running back, and I think he'll finish there.
Look, if there was one little sign of him breaking down last year, I would say yeah. But there wasn't. There was nothing last year. I mean, he was completely normal. Like I said, he had a couple of bad games, but he broke out for nice runs after those bad games. So I'm not concerned.
Yeah, we don't need to. Yeah, if he's gonna, he's going to be. If there's anybody that's a lock for double digit touchdowns and 1,200 to 1,500 rushing yards, it's Adrian Peterson. So. He's gotten double-digit rushing touchdowns every single year, except for that 2014 season where, obviously, he didn't play the whole season, except right. for that first game.
Yeah.
I think if I had to place a bet on any running back that would finish in the top five, it's going to be Adrian Peterson. I mean, you got other great running backs going ahead of him, but, David Johnson, still don't know the full situation there. Lamar Miller, maybe he's not as utilized in Houston as everyone thinks he'll be. Devontae Freeman, maybe he suffers another concussion. I think Adrian Peterson would be more of a lock to finish in the top five as opposed to any other running back.
Yeah, until you give me a reason, I'm drafting him. You guys agree with McKinnon, though, right? I mean, he's a handcuff to own.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
All right, so next up then, we'll go ahead and we'll talk about the Green Bay Packers. They finished number two in the division last year. Of course, Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. What do we think of him, Christian?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers last year performed very much underwhelmed for where people drafted him last year. Last year, people drafted Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers in the first round. Those were your quarterbacks 1-2 and ADP. And if that's what you did, your fantasy team probably hurt because of it, because people assumed that the loss of Jordy Nelson was not going to affect Aaron Rodgers because he's motherfucking Aaron Rodgers, right? But we saw that it did have a huge detriment to his playing ability. And not only that, but they weren't able to run the ball effectively because Fat Eddie came into the line. And he just wasn't himself either. So I think if both of those pieces are back to being normal, then Aaron Rodgers will be a top three fantasy quarterback again.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Eddie Lacy goes, he's actually come into camp about 20 pounds lighter, so he stopped, all the McDonald's breakfasts that he's been having.
P90X, baby?
Came in a little lighter this year. He wasn't 100% for most of last year anyway, but with the reduced weight, I mean, I expect him to be a little healthier, obviously a little more agile out on the field, too.
I just want to
say, it's going to help his performance, too.
Just want to say real quickly, P90X, if you want to sponsor the show, we all have weight to lose, so.
But we won't do testimonials because we're all too lazy to try it out. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, to go back on what you said, I think that people are going to be getting pretty good value on all Packers players this year, including Aaron Rodgers and Eddie Lacy and the wide receivers. Just because they all sucked last year, right? I mean, it's what have you done for me lately? And, the recency bias. And I think they're all going to fall a little bit better value than normal.
Yeah, Lacy in particular, right now he's at ADP number 25, so technically you can see him in the third round, which I think is really great value for him. I have him at number 7 myself.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm going to contradict myself a little bit and talk about the wide receivers here, because I'm not as high on these receivers as a lot of people are. I think some people maybe are thinking, it's going to be back to good old-fashioned, high-powered offense Green Bay Packers that we're used to seeing a couple years ago. I have Randall Cobb at 22nd overall among wide receivers. Not overall, I'm sorry. 22nd among wide receivers. And Jordy Nelson at 15th among wide receivers. Lately in mocks that I've been doing, I'm avoiding them because people are grabbing them earlier than that. Cobb last year, as you mentioned, he finished pretty disappointing. But he had 800 yards and 6 touchdowns, which is okay for a number 2 receiver, except the fact that Cobb was playing as the number 1 wide receiver in that offense. He actually had more receptions and touchdowns as the new number 2 wide receiver on the team than he did when he was the number 1. I think Cobb is going to improve from last year. I don't think he should be drafted as high as he is, though. I have him as a number 22 running wide receiver this year. And I would just temper your expectations on Jordy Nelson coming back from the injury, though.
Yeah, right now I'm the highest on Jordy Nelson among all of you guys. I have him ranked number 7 among wide receivers. Brito, you have him, I believe it was like number 17 or 18, just like Dale does. I mean, yeah, he is coming off of an ACL tear. Normally that's not something that you want to go ahead and see as far as a top 12 wide receiver coming back. But he suffered the injury really early last year. It was still preseason, so he's had a lot of time to recover. He did recently have a little bit of tendonitis there, but it's being reported as not being as serious. It's just a simple hiccup. In his last full season, though, man, he exploded. He had almost 100 catches, over 1,500 yards, and 13 touchdowns. So he was, I believe, number 2 in among wide receivers when he did play.
Yeah.
I expect similar production. I don't think he's going to be top 3. I think that's a lock for ODB, Julio Jones, and Antonio Brown. But top 10, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good receiver. I'm just saying temper your expectations. He's not going to be the 2014 wide receiver we all loved. He's going to take a little step back. And, coming from the injury, like you said, it was so early in the season last year. It was preseason, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's so early. He's definitely had time to recover. I just don't think he's going to be back to his normal pace, hence the reason I have him so low.
Yeah, so let's remember, okay, this guy's coming off of a devastating knee injury, placed on the pup to start training camp. I know it's just tendonitis on the other knee, but I think that that's something they were probably going to do anyways. He probably had that issue of overcompensation, where starts to, your body starts to overcompensate for one injury by placing too much stress and too much work on the other side of the body. It's just a natural response. And it's something that I worry about with a receiver that's getting older in an offense. There's just other guys that I'd rather have. If I look at the consensus rankings, like, there's just guys that there's no way that I would rank over Jordy Nelson over. Like, in consensus rankings, Jordy Nelson's 8th over a guy like Mike Evans. And I just wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
No, I don't have a problem taking Mike Evans ahead of, Jordy Nelson. But I think I would draw the line probably on, I'd say, about the Allen Robinson level. I think I would take Nelson ahead of him.
Okay.
Yeah, I disagree, but I wouldn't argue with you.
I think that's one of those, do you want the quarterback or do you want the player? Because I think at this point in his career, and I'm going to get some hate for it, at this point in his career, Allen Robinson's just a more talented player.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going
to make that bet.
I'm going to get a lot of hate for... Well, yeah, I'll make that bet. Allen Robinson has a better fantasy year than Jordy Nelson.
I'll take it. I'll do it with Mike Evans too. I'll take Allen Robinson. I'll take it against Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I'm mildly confident about Robinson, and I'm very confident about Evans.
Yeah. Yeah, I would take Robinson over Nelson as well.
All right, you heard it here, guys. We hate Mike. Jordy Nelson.
$1,000, Richard.
$1,000, $1 per yard that Allen Robinson has over Jordy Nelson.
There you go.
And Jordy Nelson out for the year.
Fuck that. We're not doing that.
Severe case of tendonitis, worst we've ever seen.
All right. How about this? $5 per point per game.
Okay, we'll figure it out off air. This is very boring for the listeners. All right, listen. Per yard. No, just kidding. Just move on.
Yeah, all right.
You guys want to talk about Richard Rodgers at all?
Moving on.
Fuck that guy.
All right.
All right, next up then we have the Detroit Lions. They finished 7-9 last season, third in the division. Matthew Stafford, of course, coming back. It's going to be his first season without Calvin Johnson. I have him as number 17. That's not to say that I have him, you know, as a low-end quarterback or as somebody that I wouldn't want to play. He finished the year last year pretty much on fire. He had 17 touchdowns and one interception in the last six games. What do you guys feel about him?
On fire? Why didn't they do anything about that? That seems unsafe.
Yeah, it was an invisible fire, so nobody could see it.
That's a really bad joke. I think... Go ahead, Dave.
No, you tell me what you think.
I think Matthew Stafford is being very undervalued this season. He's a guy that finished ninth in fantasy points last year, had a great second half to the season once Jim Bob Cooter came in, took over the offense and calling plays and all that. I like the guy a lot. I have him ranked just outside my top 12, so he's my number 13 quarterback. I got to try to see how I can figure out to sneak him into my top 12 because I really think he's going to finish this year there. I understand no Calvin Johnson, but he's got a pretty good receiving core. Marvin Jones isn't Calvin Johnson, but he can do a lot of the things that Calvin Johnson did. And with Jones, Golden Tate, Bolden, we'll see what happens with the Eric Ebron Achilles injury. Hopefully it's nothing too serious, but that's a pretty damn good receiving core.
Yeah. I mean, out of all the quarterbacks that are, you know, being drafted after the 12th or 13th quarterback, say after, you know, around Andy Dalton, Derek Carr, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill, out of all those guys, Matthew Stafford is the guy that's going to, you know, that has the best chance of breaking in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah, he definitely has a lot of weapons out there. Like you said, Tate, Bolden, Jones. If Ebron is able to go ahead and come back from this injury, still no word yet on the severity of that. Even, you know, Amir Abdullah, he can catch a few passes. Theo Riddick is out there. So he's got a lot of targets, so.
And they're going to be in the top five in pass attempts. I mean, they've been top four for four out of the last 5 years. So you know that Matthew Stafford's going to throw the ball 600 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our running back, Amir Abdullah, is going to be there. He's no more Joke Bell there. So it's pretty much going to be the Amir Abdullah show. He did have some fumbling issues last year. Well, you know, I think he fumbled like four times in the first six games. After that, though, he only had one fumble for the rest of the year. So he did improve on that. It was more of a mental thing is what he was saying. I've got him around the running back number 29, you know, behind people like Woodhead and Gore, but ahead of players like T.J. Yeldon, Duke Johnson. I think you guys have him pretty much right around there, too.
I have him as one of the low-end starting running backs. He might be a good pass catcher, but he's going to lose almost all of that work to Theo Riddick because Theo Riddick is an excellent pass catcher. And Amir Abdullah, I'm concerned about his ability to hold up in between the tackles. However, he's a pretty good, talented guy. If he can actually follow blocks and, you know, run north and south instead of east-west, he should be able to be fairly decent fantasy-wise. I don't see him rushing for 1,000 yards. Detroit has already come out with a little news story last week about, you know, them not being a team that's going to rush for 1,000 yards this year. I don't see that happening for Abdullah, but I think he'll be a serviceable flex or first bench type running back.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a pretty good 4.2 yards per, you know, per attempt. It's okay, but like you said, he's not going to be getting the kind of work that's going to push him over 1,000 yards. He'll probably get maybe 10 to 12 touches a game is where I would put him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm lumping him right there with Duke Johnson, JGI, and him. Out of those three guys, bring those three guys, Duke Johnson, JGI, Abdullah.
I'd probably do Johnson, Abdullah, Ajayi.
Same for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, as far as the wide receivers go, like we said, they've got three receivers that any one of them can catch the ball pretty well. Golden Tate obviously is going to be the number one target there. He's not going to have Calvin Johnson on the other end of him anymore. But, you know, Calvin Johnson last year, he had 149 targets and 1,200 yards. That's going to have to go somewhere. Yeah, they just added Marvin Jones and recently Anquan Boldin too. So it's going to be spread out pretty evenly there. Boldin obviously playing the slot position, Jones opposite of Tate. But obviously it's going to be Tate's show there.
I'm on the bandwagon for Marvin Jones, and I've said this quite a bit. And I think his value is so much better than Tate's value at this point. If I can get Marvin Jones right now, pretty much as my fourth wide receiver, I love it, and he's a guy that has tremendous upside, and I would not be surprised if he outscored Golden Tate.
Well, the value, yeah, you're right. It is a lot better for Marvin Jones. He's going as the 88th overall, and Golden Tate's going at number 47 ADP. So about four-round difference there. But remember, Marvin Jones last year, when he had A.J. Green opposite of him, he still was averaging about four catches per game, and he never had a 100-yard game last year either. Yeah. So, yeah, he's switching teams. He's going to be opposite of Golden Tate, who's not as good, obviously, as A.J. Green. So, yeah, keep your expectations tempered on Marvin Jones. Yeah, he's going to be pretty good, but I don't see him passing Golden Tate.
I think if anything is actually serious with Eric Ebron's injury, Marvin Jones is going to be the red zone target. I mean, we've seen already two seasons ago him be able to have a double-digit touchdown season. I see actually this year being pretty damn good for Marvin Jones. Where he's going right now is the 38th wide receiver off the board. I love where he's going, and I'd much rather have him on my team because I think year-end production, especially with Anquan Boldin possibly cutting into some of those, you know, slot-type routes from Golden Tate, I really like Marvin Jones this year.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind having him on my bench, but he's not somebody that I would want to start week to week.
If I went running back heavy or I drafted a quarterback or tight end early, I would have no problem playing Marvin Jones.
Has a wide receiver too,
Dale?
Flex type guy, yeah.
Yeah.
You do not have to draft him as a wide receiver too. He's being drafted outside your top 36, so he's pretty much a bench type guy that you can play as your flex.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course, as far as the tight ends go, Eric Ebron. Right now, we're still waiting to see the severity of his Achilles injury. If he's out, it's pretty much Brandon Pettigrew and Tim Wright that are left.
Yeah, and both of them aren't doing so hot right now either.
Yeah. I mean, Pettigrew's still on the pup list. He tore his ACL in December too, so.
Yeah. They'll need to find another tight end from somewhere. Yeah. Maybe get Austin Seferian Jenkins. It's a bad joke, sorry.
Yeah.
And sorry about that. Eric Ebron is a guy that, if he's healthy, I've been slowly climbing on him during this offseason. I think he's such a talented player. He was drafted 10th overall by the Lions, first round tight end pick. And we've seen tight ends just do not materialize for fantasy in their first two seasons. This is his third season. If he's healthy, and he very well might be their red zone guy. And I'd like him to be that guy this year if he's playing. But we'll see what happened with that Achilles. I'm not too optimistic about that.
He wasn't terrible last year. He finished number 13. He only played 14 games. He had about 6 points per game, which is okay for tight end. So, I mean, yeah, maybe he was due for a breakout this year. Like I said, we still have to wait to see what the severity is. All right, so to go ahead and finish off the NFC North end, we'll go to the Chicago Bears. Brito, what do we think about him?
All right, so let's actually start with Jay Cutler. He's a guy, personally for me, I don't think he's draftable in pretty much any type of league format. He's never truly had a great season, and he's not a guy that, you know, even in a two quarterback league, I wouldn't be targeting. I mean, if he's your third quarterback, pretty much, he hasn't thrown for 4,000 yards in eight seasons. And he's just a, you know, perennial 3,500 yards, 19 or 20 touchdown kind of guy. Not the kind of quarterback that you want for your fantasy team. But he tends to really rely on his number one wide receiver, as we saw previously with Brandon Marshall in those days, and then Alshon Jeffrey when he was healthy a couple years ago. He's a guy that can be very helpful for your number one wide receiver. You guys drafting him in any sort of format, do you think he's even viable at all?
No. Too many other options, like we said.
Yeah, I mean, two quarterback league. In that case, yeah, but he sucks. Not in any kind of standard, one starting quarterback.
I guess league. Two quarterback leagues, yeah. Yeah.
He's not in the bottom of the league.
I would rather have freaking Ryan Tannehill than Jay Cutler.
Teddy Bridgewater?
That's not bad. Yeah, I agree with that.
I would
Bridgewater. No, I take Cutler at that
damn
point.
Damn it, dude! You gave me like my least favorite quarterback of all time. I have Teddy Bridgewater ranked as my 32nd quarterback. You got me there, Dale. All right, so yeah, I'll take Cutler there. All right, so actually, where the most fantasy production I think is going to come this year for the Bears will probably be their wide receiver core. Alshon Jeffrey. So these are Alshon Jeffrey's fantasy points per game numbers over the last 3 years. 11.6 last year, 11.0 the year before, and 12.2 the year before that. So he's been very good when he plays. In my head, I've kind of thought of Alshon Jeffrey as kind of this injury-prone guy, but that's just all based on recency bias and last year. Because the season before, I mean, the 2 seasons before that, he played full 16-game seasons. It was just last year where he just kept struggling to come back. And when he was back and played, he played well, but he was clearly not himself last year. what scares me a little bit is, how is he going to be health-wise this year? Because he's already missed 3 practices in a row. and he's probably not going to play in the first preseason game. He's already got, you know, a hamstring tweak. And it's just something that I would definitely monitor with a guy like Jeffrey. Wait, what do you guys feel about Jeffrey? You think he's injury prone? It's just, you know, bad history.
Well, it's not looking good. It's not looking good recently. If we look at just recent history, like you said, he missed 7 games last year. And he's already missed, you know, 3 practices in a row now. So, I mean, we still have some time left. We'll see how it develops over the preseason. I mean, they don't really have to work him out that much. They know he's going to be the guy once the season starts. So if they give him a little more time to actually recover and then bring him out, you know, just to warm him up a little bit before the season starts, then I'm all good to go on Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, I mean, his history is the only thing keeping him out of my top 10. I mean, if he could stay healthy, he's easily in the top 10. And I think he's going to, you know, could have a huge year. But just a injury history, I don't trust it.
Where do you have him at wide receiver? I've got him 11, just behind.
Yeah, so do I.
Yep. Yeah, I have him at 12.
Okay, so Alshon Jeffrey's going pretty much right around there. He's ranked as the number 10 wide receiver in consensus rankings. He deserves to be in that back half of, you know, your top 12 type of wide receivers. But obviously, it's something to monitor throughout training camp, his health. I'm a little worried about it, so that's really my biggest word of caution. So let's go ahead and just transition, I guess, to the guy on the other side of the field, which is Kevin White. His rookie season obviously was ended before it really ever even started because he had that shin injury last year, and coaching staff kept saying, oh, he's day-to-day, week-to-week, and then he was just, you know, out for the year, basically. So now he's healthy. We saw that he was taken in the first round, 7th overall pick, physical specimen. I mean, he's a big guy, and he was great in college, but this is pretty much his rookie season, and he's basically already kind of struggling and having those rookie problems in camp. He's a guy that I'll take as a late round, not a late round value, but a late middle round value, but there's just other guys in that spot. He kind of has to fall to me for me to draft him. What do you guys feel about Kevin White?
Yeah, I mean, the guy is 6'2", 215, and he ran like a 4.3 40 at the combine. So he's a beast. You know, the one thing I don't like is, you know, one, the, you know, coaching. John Fox is super conservative when it comes to play calling. Last year they were 6th. They had the 6th most running plays in the NFL. I don't think that's going to change much. I think that their defense is improved a little bit on the offseason, and it'll just allow them to run the ball a little bit more if he wanted to. I don't think there's enough targets for White to be an elite wide receiver this year.
Yeah, I'd wait on him as well. I'd draft him purely on upside only. If he's able to produce wide receiver 2 numbers like Alshon Jeffrey did when Brandon Marshall was in town, then hell yeah, all day, you know. But, you know, like you said, this is still technically his rookie season. He hasn't even played a professional down yet in the regular season. So it's a wait and see. I'll take him for upside, but very late in the draft.
The group of guys that he's going around is exactly kind of where he should be going, which is the upside guys of Tyler Lockett, Marvin Jones, Josh Gordon, Torrey Smith, and Michael Crabtree. That's exactly where he belongs. So it's really that little spot where it's your personal preference. I particularly like Lockett and Jones in that spot, and that's why I'm not getting Kevin White in a lot of my drafts.
I'd even get Gordon too before Kevin White.
Yep.
What?
You wouldn't?
Say that again?
Josh Gordon. You wouldn't take Josh Gordon over Kevin White?
Not a chance.
Huh. Okay.
We already got one bet today.
You're off the show, Dale.
no way.
Didn't we vote him off like 10 episodes ago?
Yeah. Yeah, but nobody's told him.
My mic has been muted the whole time.
All right, guys. Let's go ahead and transition this into the running back position for the Bears. With Jeremy Langford, this is a guy that is another curious case for me because on the one side, he averaged 3.6 yards per carry. He wasn't great with his running efficiency. He also wasn't all that hot when it came to pass catching, even though he had 40 targets. He only caught 22 of them. He had 8 drops. He is a guy that has probably one of the bigger disparities between rankings and average draft position. Because even though he's the 26th running back and 71 overall in, as far as rankings, he's the 23rd running back and 57 overall, so 16 spots earlier in average draft position. So he's a guy that on paper, as far as actual NFL production, didn't look great. But when you go back and look at fantasy points, in the games that Forte was out and Langford was the starter, well, I guess technically Kadeem Carey was the starter for one of them, but he got like, you know, the first carry and that's it. In the games that Langford was really the guy, he had 20, 30, and 11 fantasy points. And even then, the game that Forte came back, he also had 10 fantasy points. And then even after that, he was still pretty useful in fantasy lineups. He's a guy that, I mean, he's bulked up this offseason to try to see if he can take being able to be a three-down type of back. I don't know what to do with Jeremy Langford. I think he has tremendous upside if he can be the guy. So what do you guys think about Langford? Yeah. I think he's a kind of a value where he's going right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the big word that I don't like here is bulked up. And the guy gained like 10 pounds in the offseason. He's saying, you know, that was a football decision, but gaining 10 pounds for a world-class athlete makes me a little nervous. I don't know
if
he's...
Yeah, but it's not Eddie Lacy 10 pounds.
Yeah, but it's 10 pounds. He's going to be slower. Maybe that'll help his game. Maybe he's going to be a stronger runner or whatever. But it does scare me a little bit.
I think the biggest issue for him last year is that he just wasn't breaking any tackles. And that's why he wanted to bulk up and be a little bit bigger in between the tackles. I think he's just fine. Preseason, before the NFL draft, he's a guy that was literally going in the top 12 at running back because people were just looking at the upside and the fantasy production. And then Pro Football Focus and Mike Clay and all those guys started analyzing his actual, what he did, and they came out with that huge hate. And it's affected his draft stock tremendously. So to the point where I think he's almost a value now, and if you can get him as your flex type running back with that type of upside, I think it's great.
Yeah, and right now consensus we have him at 24 overall. Would we be okay having him as our second running back, or are we waiting until we have our second running back to grab him?
I wouldn't reach and grab him as my second running back. I'd be definitely a lot more comfortable with the flex. He has shown some signs of brilliance. I mean, like we said, from that week 8 to 11 period, you know, he had 20 points, 28 points, 10 points, 10 points. So he has shown that he can score fantasy points. But, you know, reaching for him as a number two running back, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. All right, if you go wide receiver, and then you end up, say, with somebody like, say, LeSean McCoy, and your next pick is coming up, and you have Jeremy Langford, Matt Jones, or Frank Gore, who are you taking?
Langford.
Langford,
by
there,
far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd much rather
now, if you
have...
Now, if you say Langford, you know, Ryan Matthews, Melvin Gordon, then, you know, I don't think I'm going Langford in that position.
Who were the other guys that you named?
Well, actually no. If we're talking flex position, I'd probably still take Jeremy Langford there. Langford, Ryan Matthews, Melvin Gordon.
I would have them Ryan Matthews, then Langford, then Melvin Gordon.
I would have Melvin Gordon before Langford.
Yeah. Oh, they were both bad as far as efficiency.
Yeah. Good flex, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that pretty much wraps it up then for the NFC North. We've got a little bit of information on the Listener League, Dale. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we have a lot of information because today was a deadline for the Listener League, and we have some entries. I want to let the first – what do you guys think about letting the first six people in on air? And then we're going to go ahead and email everybody else. We had awesome entries. Obviously, we can't read all 200 entries on the show because that would be a really boring podcast. But I just wanted to just name off a couple people, kind of get everybody excited about it, and then we're going to email everybody else and let them know what to do and all that stuff. And we'll talk about you guys on the air, you know, throughout the season. We're going to recap the league every once in a while. It's not going to be a main topic of conversation on the podcast, but, you know, it's something that we're going to be really proud of moving forward. You guys ready for the first ever entry into the Eat Sleep Fantasy Listener League?
Tell us who it is, Dale.
Hell yeah, do it. Is it me? I'm in, right?
No, because you were not the first person to enter. The very first person to enter was Joe Cassidy. I'll just read his entry really quick. It's really quick, but it doesn't need to be anything fancy because he was the first, and I already decided that we're going to let in whoever entered first automatically into the league. He just says, I love playing fantasy football. I enjoy listening to your podcast. I'm an active player and already participated in your first two listener mock drafts. I'm the best, so that's a positive as well. So we'll see if Joe is the best, but we appreciate him listening and not being as lazy as everybody else and jumping on the website and entering for the league.
He wants to be the very best that no one ever was.
Please stop.
This one guy here, Benjamin. His name is Benjamin Biddle, which is a great name, by the way.
Curious case of Benjamin Biddle.
Yeah, that's a great name.
That needs to be his teammate. No, listen, he can be in the league, but his team name has to be the Curious Case of Benjamin Biddle. That's the stipulation, okay. Benjamin.
Well, okay, let's go ahead and name their team now. So Joe is first entry Joe.
First entry or the very best Joe, either one.
Okay, yeah, we'll name the very best Joe.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. Benjamin Biddle. Now, he does give himself a nickname here. Do you want to listen to that, or do you want to just name
him? What is it? We'll choose. Right. Let's hear it. What is it?
It's not bad, actually. This is a pretty funny entry. He says, hey, my name is Benjamin. I've been listening to your podcast since it came out and really enjoy it. I primarily listen when I'm at the gym or avoiding my boss in the bathroom at work. Interesting note, it looks suspicious coming out of your work's bathroom with headphones on. Leads to questions. Anyways, I'd love to join your league. Bathroom Ben.
Bathroom Ben, that's a good name.
Damn it.
I don't know. I think I like that one better.
Yeah, let's go with Bathroom Ben.
All right. Bathroom Ben, thanks for signing up. And you
it's
are
easier to type in Bathroom
in the league.
Ben.
Yeah, it is. All right. The next guy, let's see. Some of these guys, you know, we just... okay, this guy, he is... He had a really long entry here, and to be honest, I didn't read it before we came on air, but he wrote a lot, and I was just
Dale's
too lazy.
Always so prepared, guys.
Yeah.
Just know
well,
that.
Well, it's like two paragraphs long. Okay. So I just said, hey, he really took his time to listen. I'll put him in. The next guy is Jake.
Okay. Yeah, guys, that's the trick. If you really want to be in, just write a freaking essay.
It's too late now. So this guy says, not sure how long of a response you're looking for, but I'm usually in about three leagues a year, including a 16-team PPR league that I'm the commissioner of. In these leagues, I finish within the top four, and year out, yeah, I've never been able to win at all. My biggest accomplishment as a football fan is...
Hey, just like you, Dale.
Yeah. It's falling asleep once during the entire season while watching the Jeff Fisher Rams on offense. I have a flaw. It's that I believe in the zero running back strategy too much, starting Duke Johnson, Shane Vereen, week one last year.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but you should have seen his receiver corpse, he says. I believe I should be in the listener league because I want to experience fantasy football outside of Western New York and in a league where Booby Dixon was a first nomination off the board. True story. Thanks, guys. He names himself Easy Bake Jake.
No. No, Jake. Listen, all right? We've already had a couple guys sneak in with their own names. So, Sleepy Jake. He falls asleep.
Oh, yeah. Sleepy
Easy
Jake.
Easy Bake Jake sounds good.
Sleepy Jake.
All right. Sleepy Jake.
Sleepy Jake.
All right. You're in the E-Sleep League.
Thank you, right. Jake.
Welcome.
No. Jake from State Farm.
No, we already have Jake from State Farm entry somewhere in here.
Okay. All right. Damn it.
Yeah, I know.
Stupid Jake.
Yeah. Not very original.
Damn Daniel.
Okay. This one. Says,
give us one more, Dale.
Okay. One more. Here. Let's see.
Do you have the Walmart one? That guy.
Yeah. You know I didn't flag it, but yeah, it's in there. Okay, hey, how about this guy? This is good. Ron Olmsted. He said, "What's up, guys? I just want to throw my hat in the ring and to get in the listener league. I'm not sure what kind of thing to say to stand out other than that I'll be..." Okay, sorry. I didn't edit this, but that I'll...
Again, so prepared.
Having been
really
a fan of fantasy...
radio, guys.
Having been a fan of some other big-time fantasy podcast for years, I have heard people doing all sorts of ridiculous crap to join their listener leagues. I'm just a guy who loves football, loves fantasy football, and I've been super active player for 10 years, and I'd make your league more competitive. I could play the put me in because I'm in the military card, but that's weak. So I'll just play the I'm excited to play against y'all's card. So you kind of did play the I'm in the military card, but
played
I think
the
that's
wrong
okay.
card.
Played the wrong card. Listen, man, you changed your lineup, you put in the wrong guy. No. Actually, you're in, man.
Of course. Military card drawn?
No, fine.
Military card drawn.
Are you writing down these names, Dale? Because you're just saying them. All right, okay.
No, yeah, no, I am. So what do we name Ron? What's his team name?
Ron Burgundy.
I'm Ron Olmsted.
Question mark. I'm Ron Olmsted. Question mark.
That's good. Okay. All right. So that's four guys that we just announced. And those four guys will be split up evenly. What we're doing, we haven't announced this yet, but we are running a 48 team. Yes, you heard it right. 48 team fantasy football tournament. There will be four leagues of 12 teams in each league. And standard 12-team leagues. And each one of us, myself, Christian, Richard, and Armando, will be the commissioner in each league. And the top two people at the end of week 13 will be going into the playoffs against each other in the final 4 weeks. Okay, so those are the first four. Very Best Joe, Bathroom Ben, Sleepy Jake, and I Am Ron Olmsted are all in the league. Congratulations.
Say the last name again.
I Am Ron Olmsted?
There you go.
There's tons of others, and we'd love to go through every single entry. You guys had some really clever stuff, but we just don't have time. So I hope you understand. We will be sending out the invites. We'll also be sending out the alternate list if we select you as an alternate. Maybe we'll select like 10 alternates just in case, because I'm guessing a lot of our listeners are just irresponsible and flaky.
Yep, just like us and Dale.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll send out the alternate list as well, so stay tuned. Again, we appreciate it, and we're looking forward to doing this first inaugural Eat Sleep Fantasy football tournament. Is that what it's called?
And stay tuned for information on the tournament at eatsleepfantasy.com. For our show, you can follow us on Twitter at eatsleepff. For Dale, at Dale_fantasy. Rich the intern, you can follow him at rich_fantasy. And I'm Christian Brito. You can follow me at cbritofantasy, I think. I forgot my own Twitter handle. God damn it, I'm terrible at this. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening.
No. Good night.
Good night.
And we like to play till the sun go down. Yeah, we like to play till the sun go down. And we take that town. And we take that town.